to portray all that God wants us to hear today about this time, we would have to turn the pages of the Bible way back into Genesis. And we would have to finger the pages all the way unto the New Testament to get the whole picture of what God has showed you and I so that we would be this place, this moment in time. The thing of the matter is that God has been working a plan that has been perfect, and that plan is in His Son Jesus. Each of us have a lot of plans for our lives. In fact, when our children are to come in the world, we kind of plan our lives for them to a great degree. In fact, some mothers seem like they have a major alternative to everything in the life of children. Fathers do too in some respects. Some of them want them to be football players. Others want them to be big executives and all this stuff. But all in all, really, the one who really decides what they're going to be is the one that is God. Now the Bible tells us that long ago, God put that string of hope in Genesis and brought it all the way through the Bible to bring it till today. That hope was is that there was somebody going to be raised up out of the seed of Abraham, out of the seed of David, out of the house of Israel, one that was going to be, as Moses so abruptly put him, one likened unto myself. You know, we wait with great anticipation for all the promises of God to be fulfilled. In our waiting sometimes, we become very tired. One of the things about mortality is that it is a very tiring experience. In fact, from the time that you're born in this world, you are a ball of energy. Seeming like that you can't scream enough, you can't cry enough, you can't eat enough, and you can't mess your pants enough in this first asset of your life into the world. In fact, in our coming in, we seem like we have just got so much energy. And I go along with one great philosopher. He says, the thing that bothers me most about life is that all this energy is wasted on the youth and not given to the people that need it. Men have been searching all along to find someone that has an answer that really works. Someone that really knows what they're talking about. Someone that has a handle on everything. Someone that knows exactly what needs to be done and how it needs to be done and how the plan needs to be carried out. We're all searching, trying to find that thing that we need in our life more than anything else that will guide us into the perfect day of God. Shepherds were told it was in Bethlehem. And you will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. That's the Savior of the world. Wise men came from the east. They said, we have seen his star. We have come to worship him. Worship who? The King of the Jews. Kings have tried their level best to put him and silence him and put him in the grave, but according to all that the Bible says, God had a plan that only He would allow him to be put in the grave. And only He would raise him up to life everlasting. The king's call, come seeking one, the king of the Jews, the great king over here in our text today. He said that Pilate asked him who he was. Jesus looked so abruptly at him and says, as you have spoken. What was bothering him was that he was not putting up a great deal of discussion about who he was or what he was. He wasn't even trying to defend himself, because he knew exactly what he had been born to be. It's amazing, something so small that you can hold in two hands, that squirms and wiggles and screams like Mark's little girl does, could change the world. But with every movement of that little being that was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and every movement of that young child that the kings came to see, and every movement of that young man that stood in the presence of Pilate and all the great and mighty high priest and Caiaphas himself, was the perfect plan of God. Now, many of us are looking for that perfect plan. Some are searching for that perfect financial plan so they can plan their future and their retirement. I can tell you that some people's plan have already went the other way. They have no plan. I really believe the only plan that works, and the only plan that's going to work for me and you and for the rest of the world, is the one that God has, that perfect plan, only in Jesus Christ. Many people are looking for something that'll take away all their problems and their sins and all the things that are hurtful to them and all the things that are hurting others and all the things that's going on in the world. People are looking for an answer, for somebody to come and kind of rub a little something on it to make it better. But as far as you and I are concerned, as long as we're in this mortal realm, I don't think anything is going to get better. In fact, if my Bible reads correctly and the Word of God speaks rightly, that trouble is going to be multiplied. Wickedness is going to be multiplied. Evil is going to be multiplied. Darkness and evil are going to just abound everywhere. Somebody says, you're not painting a very good picture of what life's going to be. I'm telling you that you need to get in contact with the one who knows the most about life, and that is God through His Son, Jesus. If you really want to live life, if you want life to the fullest, then make contact with God through His Son, Jesus, if you really want to live. But if you want to die, you can go with the rest of them. They're all headed down the Broadway to destruction. They're all headed towards the great judgment day of God. And they're all going to be marched off into the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Follow the crowd. It leads to where most of them are going. But this day and this service can make a difference. The difference only comes, though, when you accept God's plan. Well, what is God's plan? The thing about it is, one verse rings through all of this, through our service here, and through all the services that will follow long after I'm gone, and another comes. It's, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They didn't want God's plan. The Jews didn't. The Romans didn't want God's plan. They didn't want it. Pilate was wanting to get rid of Jesus. All these great kings, every one of them, was trying to get Jesus pushed off from somebody else, so they didn't want to handle the situation. Our prior priests were rushing around to get all the false witnesses they could to testify against Jesus. They were rushing around getting everybody to say everything that needed to be said. He proclaims Himself to be the Son of God. He's blaspheming. He is speaking blaspheming. They even smote Him in the face. Jesus says to them, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. But know this, that at my voice and my calling, I can call for 12 legions of angels. destroy the world. Do you know where your life is in God's plan? Do you know where you're at in the plan of God's eternal plan of everything? Do you know where you are? Or can you just get your mind off of what's going on around you and your family and all the problems you've got and all the things that are going on? Can you just get your mind off of that and focus on where God has you in His plan? God had Jesus in His plan. Many of us think, well, we just happen to be here. One lady one time talking to me after her fourth child was born, she looked at me and she said, "We're going to name this an oops." I said, "What? We're going to name it oops?" I said, "Why is that?" "Well, that's exactly what happened. Oops." I don't believe God deals in oops. I believe God deals in us and His kingdom and glory through Jesus Christ. I believe that every one of us has a part in God's plan. And I believe that all these things that transpired for one reason, and that is for the saving of every person in this house. And Paul says, not for me only, but for the sins of the whole world did He die. Or we could recite all the bad things they've done to Jesus, but you know them. We could recite all the things, the smoting and the cursing and the spitting and the crown of thorns. We could go through the whole thing and show you exactly how He suffered and bled and died. We could take you to the prophets and show you how that every sin of every human being was placed just on Him. Isn't that amazing? Everything that's ever been done wrong in the world, from people that read the newspaper. I went and got my newspaper this morning, walking back up the driveway, and here's two people that have murdered somebody. What kind of world do you live in? People are all messed up on alcohol, drugs, and all these things in the world, and they just take it on themselves to destroy whoever they please. The world you live in. Somebody says, "Does that distress you?" No, that just tells me that the Lord is coming. Does that weary you and make you feel weak? The fact of the matter is, that should make us feel strong. Because there's just a few more days and this thing will end abruptly and quickly. Why do we come to the Lord's table? Jesus said, "I have chosen 12 of you, and one of you is a devil." And He sits and He begins to break bread and begins to take the cup and all this stuff, and He begins to tell them that there's one in the crowd that is going to betray Him. They're all shocked. "Is it me, Lord? Did I do something to betray you? What have I done, Lord, to betray you?" They were really troubled about the fact that they might have made a mistake that would have caused Jesus to be betrayed. No, He said, "The one who dips with me in the dish is the one who betrayed me." And Judas asked, and Jesus told him to go on about his work. Jesus said, "I want you to sit here, and as I break bread, know that this is my body which is broken for you." And He said, "When we partake of this cup," He said, "this is my blood in the New Testament, which is shed for many." We try to stop blood real quick. I take a little tiny baby aspirin. Just a little bitty burger. It's not no big one. Just a little tiny one. It's supposed to thin your blood. I can be out working and bump myself somewhere, and before you know it, I got it running down my arm, trickling off my fingers. Somebody says, yours must be as thin as water. But my doctor says I've got to have it thin as water, or as thin as it can be, so I won't have a blood clot or a heart attack or some other thing. But the thing that the Lord is trying to show us today is that God's plan has been working all through this to bring you to sit down at this table with Him. For your mind and your heart to remember the Lord's death till He comes. To remember the reason that He hung between heaven and earth and died for the sins of the world. Can you envision that? Can you see somebody literally that would lay down his life so strongly and so graciously for his friends and for the whole world? Can you see him allowing himself to be put in that place? He said, I've left you an example. Are you living that kind of life that you can lay down your life in such a way that it would be counted worthy to be saved for those that need salvation? I read an account of a young man in Iraq, or in that, some of our boys. Somebody rolled an explosive device into where his men were. Did he stop, think, and look at it? No, his comrade says he jumped and landed on it and died because he thought so much of them than he did himself. The caption was, sacrifice, duty, love. Did Jesus do that just to satisfy His Father? No. Did He do that just to please the high priest? No, they wasn't happy anyway. They were ready to put Him to death. What did He do it for? What was the reason behind Him doing this horrible thing or allowing it to be done to Him? It was because He loved you and me enough to lay down His life so you and I could be saved. What is salvation? What is redemption? Do you know what salvation is? Do you know what redemption is? Do you even care that it is? Oh, it's a nice gesture. Somebody died. Did those boys in that place where that young man jumped on that explosive device, did they think that was some kind of just a gesture? No, they didn't. One young man spoke of him. He said, you knew that he cared for every one of us. I just hate he had to prove it that way. For the cross that was set before Jesus, He endured the cross, the suffering thereof, that He might what? That He might share in the glory. Are you and I ready to take up our cross and follow the Lord? Are we ready to sit down at the Lord's table, partake of these emblems, and sit there and remember His death till He's come, and to stand up and take our cross and follow the Lord and follow Him even to death itself? What are you willing to do today? Not too many hours later, look what happens. Oh, this is a real... This shows human beings in their rare form. Jesus goes to pray, takes three up there with Him. They can't even stay awake. He asked Him, can you not bear with me 1 hour? He wakes them up. Then He comes back again and finds them asleep, and He goes back and prays. Sometimes we wonder what we're doing when we come into the house of the Lord, and it seemed like Saturday was too much, and this place is too comfortable. I wonder how our eyes will fly open when we see Jesus come. I wonder. Then he comes back and tells them to get up. It's time. Time for what, Jesus? Time for what? He says, they come. And just as soon as he gets the words out of his mouth, there's a mob there. And guess who is leading the mob? That guy that was just sitting at the table with him, that put his bread in the same dish with Jesus. And he comes up and hugs Jesus and kisses him on the face. And betrays the Lord with a kiss. Somebody says, why are we making this go through all this? The fact of the matter is that we need to go through all this so that we don't become like Judas. So that when the mob came to get Jesus, everybody ran. And then one young man ran so fast he ran out of his clothes and left. Are we so afraid of the world that we would do the same thing? What kind of people are we? Will we be like Peter and stand in the crowd? No, I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't want to know him. And when he finally really confronted him, he began to speak cursing and told him again that he didn't know him. What parts of your life has Jesus been denied access to? What part of your life have you denied him access in your heart and your life? Where is Jesus? What are you doing with him right now? You living your own life, enjoying everything to the fullest extent, and you come in this house on this day to sit here in this place to partake at his table, to remember his death till he comes. What are you doing here? Are you like the Jews? You like to do your ritual every Sunday? You like to do your thing with your tithes and offerings every Sunday? It's not coming from your heart. It's just ritual. We're just doing it. There's a difference between ritual and faithful. There's a difference between love and duty. There's a difference between what's coming from the heart and what is just coming whenever it comes. You know, it'd be sad to be all alone and know that you had to die for the sins of the world. You ever put yourself in this place? You ever thought about how it felt? Somebody said, well, he knew the angels were all around. He's a human being. He's a young man in his 30s. A young man that should be living his life to the fullest, should be living his life and having a beautiful young lady in his life, should be having all the things that all the young men have at 30, and having a family and having all the good things that belong to a young man his age. Somebody says, no, he was great in God. No, he was human, just like you, just like me. You ever felt like you were alone and nobody didn't care about you? You ever been so in such a tither that you feel no one cares at all about what happens to you? And in all that, can you put yourself in the plan of God and say, this is the will of my Father. This is God's will for my life. To be totally miserable, totally alone, totally by myself, totally, totally, totally. Some of us can't see it, can we? Because faith is dim. Some of us can't see it because we've not looked hard enough, prayed long enough,
sought, fasted long enough, doing whatever it takes necessary to bring their heart and all that we are back to God.
They were amazed. They didn't say anything. But the prophet Isaiah said he was led like a sheep to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. Didn't say nothing. Scary to be that way, isn't it? No way out. They had no way to run. And he wasn't planning on running. You know something? That's the amazing thing about him. He's still a human being. He still knows who he is. He's still a man. And he still stands there knowing there is no other way but the will of God. Do you know that in your life? That there is no other way except God's will in your life. And do you know that in faith? We all got plans. We all going to do whatever we want to do. We've already made out our plan of life. We're some point in the way, we're going to, all going in that direction. We're all going to do what we please. The Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, he even makes his enemies to be at peace with him. The enemies were not at peace with Jesus, were they? They were not at peace with Jesus because all the enemies were gathering round. The great Pilate stood up. He says, "It is a law or some tradition that we deliver one unto you each year. Which would you choose that I deliver unto you, Barabbas or Jesus?" You know, a lot of people are choosing Barabbas. You know what Barabbas was? He was a murderer. He was guilty of capital murder. That's the reason he was there. And he was set free over Jesus Christ, who, when the king came out and the Lord came out, he washed his hands because he would not want him, this man's blood on his hands. This just man. He washed his hands. Are we choosing a murderer? You know, you don't have but two choices, and one of them is Jesus Christ, and the other is Satan himself. And Satan's been a murderer from the beginning. He's been a liar, a destroyer, and a murderer from the beginning. You're making that choice whether you're, whatever you're doing in your life, either. You would sit here quiet as a mouse, but inside of you, there's a choice being made. Somewhere in there you say yes to the Lord, or you say yes to Barabbas and to death. And all this, he continues to be exactly what he has in the beginning. He is determined to accomplish his Father's will. Are you that determined? Some of you men are good at doing your wife's will, but are you that great at doing your Father's will? You know everything she wants. Do you know everything God wants for your life? Do you know how He wants these things to happen in your life? Wife, do you know exactly what God wants for your life, or do you just figure your husband knows everything that's best for your life? Young person, do you know what's best for your life? Oh, I'm going to live my life. I had one young man tell me one time, he said, "I'm going to live my life to the fullest. I'm going to enjoy everything I can before it's all over." And I said, suddenly you'll wake up in the day of the Lord only to find out that you didn't have no life at all. Somebody had to die for the people, so said the high priest. Somebody had to die for the people. We wouldn't beat a dog like they beat Jesus. We wouldn't do to him what we wouldn't do it to an animal. They had some lady on the front page that had animal cruelty to animals on the newspaper this morning. I thought to myself, how could you hurt an animal? How can you do that? How could they do that to him? What was the reason behind such a hatred and such an awful lot of malice and such a direct issue of we've got to hurt him? Because he carried every one of our sins. Sin hurts, no matter how it is, it hurts. Sin and death is destroying our lives even as we speak. We're in the midst of a world today that sin and death is prospering. If you haven't seen in the cemeteries lately, take a drive by. You'll find out there's a whole lot out there and there's some going that way and there's tents up all over the place. Sin and death is very alive. He said, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. This cup is the New Testament. My blood, which is made an offering for many. As oft as you drink this, in remembrance of me. It's a harsh world you live in and harsh realities that you are with right now. But the decisions you make in this moment of time could control whether that you live eternally in the kingdom of God or you cease to exist forever. We stand so close to the day of the Lord. It is so evident that what is happening in the world is so evident of the end of time. But do we live like it's the end of time? Do we live like that God's Son Jesus is coming any minute? Do we live like that there's going to be a resurrection any second in the twinkling of an eye? Do we live like that this thing is going to happen? Or do we just quietly go on about our task and occasionally we think about what might happen in the future? I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.